TCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by the warrior himself, the legend, Bill Gagliardi.
Now, that is a bit much, but I mean, I'll take all of it.
You are a legend in my book.
We are starting on way, way high ground now.
I'm trying to get a nice feel for like epic fantasy. I want to. Everyone knows that Bill has done the music to PCMC. All of the PCMC music comes from Bill. I want you to do like a Renaissance fairy type version of the.
Now I'm there. So Douth had crossed the rivers and ventured over the mountains.
Yeah.
To give minstrels. I don't know. I just got completely lost in those lost woods, which is an area to this subject material.
So today we are talking about The Legend of Zelda, the video game series that I know nothing about. This is one of these episodes where I'm really just asking questions and I'm picking your brain because I don't know if I'm too stupid for RPG type games or if I'm just I don't have the patience that it takes. But I've played three Zelda games and every time there was not enough happening for me.
Okay.
And I gave up, but you are a big Zelda fan.
Well, actually, I actually want to start it off with what keeps bringing you back, because you've already given it three chances.
What keeps bringing me back is that it's like one of the major franchises in video games, that like people like yourself love it and love the lore of it. And I love the lore of it. I love the look of it. You know, like I've had T-shirts with Link on it. Like I want to like it.
It fits in such a weird place because it's Nintendo's secondary mascot,
right?
Like you have Mario, and they have just licensed Mario to its just bitter end.
Yeah.
Like my kid right now is wearing Super Mario pajamas as we speak.
Yeah.
But Zelda, yes, there is a little oversaturation there, but there is still some respect to it because it does have a little bit more sophistication because I think it is a lot more story-based.
Right.
But
it doesn't have the – like there's an accessibility to Mario that any old fool could play Mario.
Yes. But like you said before, you mentioned something about RPG and being stupid for RPG or whatever. I may have just twisted your words. But
I have always felt insecure about my inability to be good at RPGs.
Well, I never had the patience for RPG.
Yeah.
Role-playing game. If we're sure. You know, for non-brevity folks. But never had the patience for it. I was never a reader up until I got older. Mm. So, and especially turn-based RPGs, it's like, oh man, I got to go into inventories and whatnot.
Yeah.
Zelda is the game for that because it's more linear. It's more actually it's not very fair. it's very hard to explain because it changes its model every couple of years, but it is more of a starter RPG.
So it's like it's RPG light.
It's RPG light. Very, very RPG light.
So
high
you're
fantasy,
not into
but RPG low.
Yeah. So you're not like this wasn't a gateway for you to like get into like Dungeons and Dragons and things like that.
I stay the hell away from anything else RPG. Like I don't even touch Pokemon.
Okay,
which
so
is
this is
an easy RPG.
Right. So then now I'm interested in your history with it or your experience of it. How did you get into it?
Man, that is right where I wanted to jump off. All right. Earliest memories. Okay, so this is the 35th year for Zelda.
Yes.
The birth date was back in February, I want to believe. Please don't come at me with that. I'm going to just preface this for this episode saying that if there is somebody who's a huge Zelda fan, you probably have like a Triforce nightlight behind you. You're going to be screaming at this episode. This is really more of a celebration of it and how much we like it.
I'm not expecting you to be a character expert like we're in court.
Please don't at me.
You're a fan of it. You love it.
You're
drinking tea from a Zelda mug as we speak.
A Hylian shield, to be exact.
And I'm looking at it, loving it, wishing it could be part of my life.
It hurts because it's got a lot of points, but like actual poking into
it's
my eye.
It's a bit unwieldy for a mug.
Yes. But yes, it's 35 years. And in tradition, we are doing this 2 months delayed from its actual birthday, which is perfect for the series because every time they say, hey, we're going to release a game and it's going to be released, let's just say 2017, it'll be released in 2020 instead.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is that sanctity of this franchise. They have the game, it's ready, but they will not put anything of lower quality out. As far, like, it's got very few bugs ever. It's got, really? You know, like, yeah. I mean, especially now, you got games like Cyberpunk or the big trend now is day one releases.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of patch updates. Breath of the Wild was the first one to have downloadable content, but it was more of, let's just beef up a game that's already extremely long.
Yeah.
But to go into the start of it, so 35 years ago, so I'm 35 going on to 36. It was really an older brother's game. Where a lot of my beginning identity of it is just watching my older brother and his friends play. Starting with the first game. I remember going to a friend's house who was a tremendous gamer, still is. He's in his 40s. And just having a hand-drawn map of the entire Hyrule.
Wow.
Not for art's sake or anything, but for reference to know where things are in the game. And it was done on graph paper. And a lot of people had that. And just to see how involved this was versus what like Super Mario or Donkey Kong was at the time, where just get to the goalpost. It's like the goalpost could be anywhere. It's like, yeah, sure, we're going to suggest for you to travel north to the first dungeon, but you could level up way so much before you even start the game. So it was such a sandbox game, and it was like, okay, I am on board. But it didn't really come into my own until a lot later. But I don't know, when did you start? Like, was it like a younger or?
Yeah, I mean, probably I was a kid, I think. Well, we had it, which means my older brother must have been the one who wanted it.
It's the older brother game.
It was just there. But I can't remember. I don't remember him ever playing it. He may have had the same issue with it that I did. I found it impenetrable. I mean, I didn't understand that a game could be different from Mario. Like, you start off and they give you a sword and you're like, awesome, I got a sword. And then, like, there's a lot of reading. And then there's, like, I can't do much with my sword. And I really just did not get it. But you know what? Like, a year or two ago, I got the Nintendo Entertainment System, like, the retro one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to play Zelda now as a man in his late 30s. Mm. And I found it just as impenetrable. I found myself thinking, going to the internet to find things and then thinking, how in 1986, before the internet, was anybody able to do anything in this game?
I'm so glad you got there because that was my next point I wanted to talk about. You said the thing about reading. The very first game, if you hold on to the opening credits or like that first opening screen, it does tell you a little bit of a backstory of what's happening. It says Ganon's got the Triforce of Power. You have the Triforce of Courage. You have to find the Triforce. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you have...
It's gobbledygook.
It's good that that's there because that's saved from a lot of retconning way on, which, I mean, when they made the timeline. It's kind of perfect because really the first text that you read, you start off in a place where there's a dungeon. There's an open field, and then there's just like one little pixel where you walk into a cave.
Right.
Opening shot. And the first lines are, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. And it's to take a sword. It's very Arthurian. It's literally the Merlin in the cave. It's like, you're on your own. You have no context. The whole basis of this game, the creator wanted it to just mimic just going outside and exploring and seeing what you find.
And you
could
kind of go in any direction.
Any direction. You could really do whatever you want based on what inventory
Think about
you have.
How linear games were back then.
Yeah.
Like, so if you were used to Mario, which makes you go from left to right.
Yes.
Like, here you are, like you said, like, probably that's the most, in my mind, iconic thing because it's probably the furthest I ever got, like, when I'm a kid, like, I'm in that opening, couple of minutes, and it's just like you could fucking everything. You're in the woods.
Yeah.
Fucking figure out, go somewhere. It's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah. But like you brought up a great point about it being impenetrable.
Well, how do, what was it? Was it just smarter kids, or was it like, or was it just grinding? Was it just like people who didn't give up and they're just going to play it forever until they figure out anything?
Well, what are the first words? It's dangerous to go alone.
Yeah.
Don't do this on your own.
Uh-huh.
This is, and the word I wrote down was, this was the schoolyard game. Before uh-huh. the internet, this was, like I said, we went over to our friend's house. Our friend wrote out a whole map.
Yeah.
And then my game, my jumping on point, because yeah. I was still a little too young for when A Link to the Past came out. And then another group of friends, Link to the Past was a phenomenal game.
Was
but
that
I,
the...
Super Nintendo.
Okay, okay.
That I didn't really get into until I was in my mid-20s. But my Zelda, my starting Zelda was Ocarina of Time, which is neck and neck with Tetris to being one of the greatest games ever made.
And that's the 64
yes.
release? Nintendo 64.
Yes. And... even then, YouTube wasn't around. They had player's guides, but, you know, I was yeah. like 10 years old or 11 years old whenever it came out. My parents weren't going to pay $25 for me to, like, look right, at a book right, about right, a video right, game. Right. So it was really like, here I am walking into school in the schoolyard. I got my friend Clifford. He's coming in, and he's just like, hey, did you get up to this part yet? Did you get up to that? And there was so much in that uh-huh. game that I had no idea. Like, I didn't even know that you're going to get older in the game. I thought I was almost done, and I saved the day, and then I pull the sword out of the yeah, rock, yeah. and then all shit hits the fan.
Uh-huh,
and I'm like, oh, my, I got to play this game for another 3 months. I got to study for math, but, you know, this is more important right,
right
now.
Right.
But all the tips were just, oh, you... I didn't do that yet. You didn't get this type of shield yet. Oh, it's over here in this village. Okay. And you have to talk to this guy. And that was a lot in the second game, too, where you don't really know what's going on.
Right.
But it's like, okay, who do I have to talk to find out where to go? Okay. Or, you know, it's all a bunch of fetch quests.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every single game is just a ton of fetch quests. And it was really just by word of mouth at, you know, by that time. When it came to Breath of the Wild...
which is the most recent release?
Yes, the most recent release. I beat that game very quickly only because I relied on YouTube.
Right.
Right, yeah. Which is cheating. Like, that's your way of cheating with it. But again, that's right. that community. It, now your community, instead of going to the schoolyard, you're going for
right,
help
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
But it is a little dangerous, too.
So you think
too.
It is a group, it's a group, you need a think tank.
It's absolutely a think tank because... that was really the joy of the game. Like, yeah, it was exploring and stuff, but especially before you had any access to any internet, hearing what somebody said and being like, okay, where was it? Was it here? Was it there? Was it there? Mm. And then, like, you know, you poke around and you, like, walk along a line of caves and something yeah. and probably see, like, a little crack or just waste your bombs on an area yeah, or, yeah. like... And then it has such a rewarding sound. There's, like, this nice little dissonant harp sound or depending on whatever game, what... where you uncover a secret, and then it's the most satisfying yeah. reward just hearing those like little bells or little
yeah yeah
know.
Yeah
and you know it was like, oh man, you know, Cliff was right, or you know.
Well, it's a really kind of like musical game, isn't it?
Very, very musical, which is actually by mistake or by reaching a deadline. Uh-huh. I think that the whole series probably would not have made it if it wasn't for one incident. Koji Kondo is the composer for everything all the way up until Breath of the Wild. He yeah. was just like overseeing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is unbelievably beautiful music, but that first overworld theme was supposed to be a old ballet piece called Bolero.
Uh-huh.
And people have made chiptune covers of it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. I even think I said it wrong. It's not as interesting as
what you get.
Yeah. And the original theme was composed in about 3 days, I think. Like, the deadline uh-huh. was, they're like, okay, we're bringing this out, so, you know, come
right,
up with something.
Right, right, right.
Because they couldn't get the rights to Bolero. And there's been a bunch of other games that were similar to Zelda.
Yeah.
Where if that had licensed music.
Yeah.
That, you know, we don't even know about right now, or, like, we don't talk about.
Right, right. So it's created by Shigeru Miyamoto, the same person who created Mario.
Same person who created Mario, Donkey Kong, just Nintendo in general.
So it's so interesting because it's nothing like Mario.
No.
But no. Having, I know you're a Nintendo guy, I know you've played a lot of Mario games. Would you say, like, It seems like, just from an outsider, from what, like, whenever I read about video games, it feels like people talk about Zelda like that's his Citizen Kane, like that's his auteur. Like Zelda came from the depths of his soul, whereas Mario he created.
Well, Mario, he created the character of Mario, and it came from Jumpman or like Mario Brothers. Like the Super Mario Brothers franchise just worked because he just needed an arcade style game with the Nintendo mascot that was already existing, right. And you know, the side scrolling platformer that it was just worked perfectly,
right?
And it was just, I don't want to call it a generic game, I mean I love the Super Mario franchise, but this one hit home with him.
Yeah.
He just wanted something that had something to do with exploration.
Yeah.
And the real just gem about that first game is that it's the first game to have a battery save.
Really?
Everything else has like password protection, or you had to pause the game and like turn off the TV.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody like changed the channel or something. It was one of the first, or it was the first game that had a chip on the actual cartridge that you could save your progress because you needed to.
Wow.
And you could go over to your friend's house and see like, oh, Link has a different tunic on. This guy is light years ahead of where I am. Oh, how'd you do that? And that goes back to the whole, you know, asking people for tips.
So, but your love affair started with Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time.
What made you pick that up?
I always had a fascination. Like I said, my older brother and his friends played the games.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I didn't play them. I just was terrible at them.
Sure.
Or I always started them halfway through, but was always fascinated with the story, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Now we have the jump to 3D. Nintendo 64 was my first system. Everything else I was just loaning from my brother, my Sega Genesis or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So here I am. I'm playing Mario 64 for about a year.
Yeah, sure.
Got my 120 stars, saw Yoshi up on the roof. He gave me a bunch, I did everything. Zelda comes out. It's holiday season of 1998, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nowhere to be found. My buddy PJ has it. I don't even see the beginning of the game. I'm like the second dungeon in. And just seeing how many puzzles were in one room, like where he had to like shoot a slingshot onto an eye to like stop a fire or like push a rock to open up a door. And it didn't look intimidating. Like it was accessible.
Yeah.
But there was so much satisfaction in figuring out like little easy tasks that I was like, oh, okay, this is actually pretty fun. It's challenging, but also it looked gorgeous at the time.
Yeah, sure.
They really used the limitations perfectly.
Well, that N64, that jump to 3D, as crude and sort of like boxy as it looks now, was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I remember like seeing, like my uncle had Nintendo, my young, cool uncle had Nintendo 64 before I did.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, and I remember seeing like Mario 64 and just being like, this is the height of technology. Yeah. This is mind blowing.
Yeah. I remember like I was so amazed by it. It was like, you know, one of those like Macy's kiosk or Toys R Us kiosk. And I got motion sickness because I was just standing in front of the kiosk. Like, I don't know how my mom left me in the store for like 3 hours.
Sure.
I think something illegal happened. But,
sure.
So it was really I'm identifying myself as a gamer now, you know, like, and it's console gaming because like at this point, like people were into like Gigapets or Tamagotchis like Pokemon was out in 96 and like people were still playing Game Boys. I had like the brick Game Boy, so I couldn't even bring it to school or anything. And the battery life was awful. So I was not part of that. I missed that boat.
Yes.
So it really just, I felt a good identity with it. And once I started the game, it just seemed, I don't know if it seemed easier than all the other games, but I guess it did lose a little bit of its charm where now you had Navi, who was your companion.
Right, right.
And Navi kind of gave you a little bit more with the hints.
Right.
Okay, go here first. Right. Once you complete the main story, the exploration opens up a little bit more, but I think I needed that guidance to keep me interested at first.
Yeah.
So that's where I was like, okay, this is definitely my favorite franchise.
And I'm a gamer now.
Yeah, because I'm going to 100% this game. And I think that was, well, no, Mario 64 was the first 100% game, but like that.
It's more of a challenge.
Yeah. So I haven't fully completed the game since Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
But, I mean, that was where it was like, okay, now this is how deep you could get into a game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after Ocarina of Time, did you then go backwards and play earlier releases from when you were a kid? Because now you're into Zelda, or like, did you ever go back to that original Legend of Zelda from 86?
Recently. And
like, oh, okay.
Yeah, recently, like the Switch, they have the virtual consoles now.
Yeah.
Played around with the first Zelda. Second Zelda, I don't touch. It's extremely intimidating. It's a completely different form. It's more of a side scroller.
Uh-huh.
There is an open concept to it, but I think they were just a little too ambitious with it. They wanted to try it. Nintendo did a lot of that back in the 80s, where their second game was completely different from their first.
Yeah, yeah.
The biggest one of the older games was Link to the Past. And I just finished that recently, but...
And that's the second or third
that's
title?
That's the third. That's there were two for NES, and then there was one for Super Nintendo, and that was the Super Nintendo release.
This might not be an answerable question, but how many Zelda games are there?
Storyline? There's over 10, but there's about 40 just Zelda
just
games.
Just with the... Yeah, like...
With the title Zelda.
Various, like...
Yeah.
Like a Game Boy version of something where it's slightly tweaked and I know that like with Mario, like I thought I knew how many, and then I read a book recently that was like is 200 and something.
Oh yeah, because they got like Mario Paint, golf. Whatever shitting thing Mario's doing that day.
But there's the Well, it's not really a narrative, right? Because in preparation for this, you sent me a YouTube video of the timeline, and I got halfway through it, and I was just like, I've never been more confused by anything in my life. It was just like, it was like someone describing the timeline of Bible to me. It's just like, and then this, and then that, and then like, there's 1,000 people named Ganon, and then but then different links, and then, but that's not the real link, and then this guy, and I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's... I think Ocarina of Time, they still go back and they say that's the best story because he goes forward in time. He corrects. He doesn't go forward in time. They actually put him to sleep for 7 years. Mm. And then he wakes up and the world's gone to shit. It's actually pretty beautiful how it happens. You collect these stones. You go into this church. It's called the Temple of Time. It's got a great mountain view in the background. Uh-huh. Death Mountain, it's called. It's got like this nice smoke ring on it, but it's very... very serene looking. You go into the temple. You open up the Sacred Realm Gate. Mm-hmm. You pull the sword out of the stone. Again, very Arthurian.
Yeah, sure.
And then Ganon pops up. He's like, ha, I followed you here, whatever. Uh-huh. And then you go to sleep. And then some, you know, ancient wise guy, they call him sages. A wise guy's like, hey, what's up? Says, hey, yeah, you've been asleep for 7 years. Now you got to wake up and you got to find this guy. Uh-huh. And you walk out. And now there's that volcano has a fire ring on it. Like the whole place is dilapidated. Mm-hmm. There's zombies walking around. So he's like, awesome. Oh, I fucked up. Like, oops. So now you have to like go and, you know, undo all the shit that this guy has done. So kind of messing with your mind a little bit as like a little kid, like, oh man, yeah, I got to be responsible for this. But I think Nintendo turned around and was like, okay, this is the game. This is the jumping off point. And that's why now you see the timeline say, hey, we're going to split it this way, this way, this way. Because he goes back in time. They let him be a kid again. And okay, then that's where there's like a split timeline theory. And
so, all right, from like the first game, did they just go, okay, did they not have a timeline originally?
Or no.
They were just like, we're just going to keep making these and we don't really care how it all fits together or it doesn't need to fit together.
They made the first game. He rescues Zelda, then, and Ganon dies.
Yeah.
Zelda's put under a curse and they're trying to resurrect Ganon. That's the second game. Now, the Super Nintendo game is a prequel. And they're like, oh, no, this is what happened hundreds of years ago.
Okay.
This is more of, like, how the world was formed or, like, why people love it. It's the Triforce. That's, like, the most sacred prize for them because, like, that's what the goddesses left after they were making the world. Uh-huh. And if somebody, whoever gets it, gets a wish granted. And Ganon always gets it and then, accesses, like, all these bad realms. So it's okay. Like, oh, that's the story of how important this thing is. And then the one for Game Boy is the third one of the original two. And then so they're like kind of like just piecemealing it all together. So they're like, shit, let's just split a timeline so we could just do whatever we want and just make this one go this direction and this one go that direction.
So So there are two different timelines now.
There's three different timelines. And
they, because are they trying to make it work now?
They're trying their best to make it work because there's one for Wii called the Skyward Sword that they're like, okay, this is the very first game. Mm-hmm. This is the, you know, right after the creation of Hyrule. This is the birth of the Master Sword. Mm-hmm. You actually get the Triforce for the first time since the first game. And it's the beginning of Ganon. Ganon doesn't even exist. It's like whatever the evil entity that Ganon, that became Ganon, was. And they, like this cup here. Like this cup, how it has a bird there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those birds you fly, but they're the only time that you ever, like, use that as a thing.
Okay.
But this has been, this has been on the crest since Ocarina of Time. So they're like, okay, that bird, we're going to use it, and it's going to be for this reason. And that's when the timeline was established, because they were like, okay, that's how it's going to start. Then it's going to go like one, two, three, or it's going to go Ocarina of Time, and then they're going to go in this direction. Then he's going to be sent back as a kid, and then he's going to do Majora's Mask, which I've never played. And people get really upset when I say that, because people love Majora's Mask.
Okay, what is that for? What
That is the direct sequel to Ocarina of Time. So
why have you never played that? Being that that was, like, such a big game for you.
You know how I said that RPGs scare the hell out of me? This is the most RPG of them all, because there's a three-day timer on it. You have 3 days to do everything, or the moon falls and destroys the Earth. And it literally is an axe hanging over your head. And it stresses me the fuck out. People love it, and it's the most obscure title because it deals with the five stages of grief, and it's probably the most mature Zelda game. It was received pretty well when it first came out, but now people are like, yeah, this is the best one.
Wow. Follow up question.
Yeah.
Who is Zelda?
She's just somebody, really. Like,
okay.
Well.
She's the name of the series, but our protagonist is not Zelda. The protagonist is a male named Link, right?
Yes. Okay, so Zelda is a couple of things. She originally is the princess in the tower. She's like the Rapunzel, whatever.
Okay.
But they make her so much more much later on.
Sure, yeah.
Ocarina of Time was really the, like, okay, Zelda is a lot more important to the story.
Okay.
Because Zelda actually goes into hiding in Ocarina of Time, becomes this character named Sheik, which is kind of like a more like tactical, warrior. But also she's one of the sages. And what a sage is are people who protect the Triforce, and like they're like more mystical creatures and stuff. And that has been pushed to the later series, that she has, she's the keeper of the Triforce of Wisdom. And yes, I'm sorry, I kind of went off track a little bit, but the Triforce is broken up into three triangles that have a different unique trait.
Mm-hmm.
The Triforce of Power is usually up for grabs. That's what Ganon usually goes for.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the Lord of the Rings thing where has the power, the elves have the wisdom, and then the dwarves have the courage, right?
Okay,
So Zelda always has the wisdom, and then Link halfway through every single game is like, oh shit, I got the other one here. Uh-huh. And they always have like tattoos on their hands. And it's like, if you just looked down at your hand at the beginning of the game, you would have figured this out. And they're always just trying to stop Ganon from, you know, doing his bullshit. But so Zelda.
Do you ever play as Zelda?
Only in spin-off games. Like right now, I'm finishing up something called Hyrule Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like any Zelda game. This one is based off of 100 years before Breath of the Wild.
It seems like the series goes backwards instead of forwards. Like, it seems like every game is like, no, this is before.
Well, Breath of the Wild is very standalone because it has this narrative of you wake up from 100 years sleep because the kingdom was attacked.
Yeah.
Everybody died, and they're like, okay, you're our only hope, so we put you in like a isolation tank or like a freeze tank for whatever. So this is the story of when it all went to shit.
Okay.
Which Breath of the Wild is like, you wake up and very much like Orcarina, where it's like you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, nobody's here. Everything is like destroyed. It's just a much broader version of that. So this is that war that happened. But it's not like go find this, go find that. It's like a battle royale game where you're just like swinging your sword and going through different hordes of like goblins or whatever. It's more of like a very like cathartic id type of game where you're just like mashing buttons, which is very uncharacteristic of the franchise.
So what you said goblins, like what kind of creature, like what's in this fantasy world?
Okay, so you got, they're called moblins, are just like very big, piggish looking like monsters.
Sure.
Bokoblins, boblins, the, you know, anything that ends in L-N-L-I-N-S. Wizrobes is another thing. It's just like wizards that have different elements like fire or whatever. One of the worst things to fight are called Lynels, and they're just minotaurs.
Okay.
And they've been in the game since the beginning, and they've always been the toughest things to fight. Breath of the Wild, you have to really tactically try to figure out how to fight these guys, parry them and dodge them. It makes it a lot of fun just to try to figure out like what their weaknesses are and stuff.
What's Ganon? Is Ganon a person or a beast monster?
So this is why Ocarina is really important, because Ganon started out as a pig monster, and it was based off of...
Sounds like my ex-wife.
Hey-o.
Hi-o.
Ganon was like a boorish, like demonic pig that was based off of, I believe, again, this is where one of the fanboys is going to like just scream right now, an old Japanese story called Journey to the West, I believe it was called, and there were illustrations in it, and one of them is Ganon. But they fleshed him out a lot more. They made him have a human form. Now, besides the monsters, what Link to the Past and more so Ocarina did, once you got into like the 3D games, you could flesh it out a little bit more. There were different factions, different species. The big ones were the Kokori, where Link came from, which turned into the Koroks, which were more anthropomorphic trees.
Okay.
Like the Ents. The Zoras, which were kind of like the mermaids.
Mm.
The Gorons, which are like rock-eating like dwarves or whatever. And then the Grudos. And the Grudos is an all-female kind of like warrior Amazonian desert-dwelling race. But every 100 years, a male is born. And that male, you know, here's the sexist part. Once the male is born, it's like, okay, here's our leader. And he's green for some reason. Like, everyone else is, like, you know, typical, you know, to the climate that they were born in. But, yeah, he's green. And then this one was Ganondorf, which was his, like, original name.
Okay.
And then once he got the Triforce,
Have you ever seen Ganondorf Goes Golfing?
No.
Were you?
I've seen Stevendorf go golfing.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, he's got a really good short nine, so.
So, I have some fandom questions.
Yeah.
You can tell me your answer, but in terms of the fandom, is there a title that everyone is like, that's the one we all hate? That's universally, that is the worst one.
Probably Part 2.
Oh, really?
Part 2 kind of like contributes absolutely nothing. And like, it's such a just deviation from everything else.
I wonder why. I mean, Nintendo was all about the bold moves back then.
Yeah.
But I wonder why you have a hit and then say, let's do something totally different. Was it a different developer?
No. Like, I think they were just like, okay, let's flesh this out a little bit more. We couldn't really see what Link looked like because everything was, he was like a two-tone or three-tone pixel.
Oh, yeah.
So now since you had him at a side profile, you could, you know, see what the character design looks like a little bit more. But it just was way too difficult. It was for, you know, this was more for, like, Castlevania did the same thing. Where Castlevania, yeah, the second super Castlevania hard game, like, it was almost the exact same structure, where once you're out of a town, you're going to die in 5 seconds.
Okay.
So unless if, like, you've just played this game for years and years and years, which that people lost patience over completely.
Yeah.
Now, what Zelda does, though, is people love a game immediately, and then a couple months later hate it. And the really funny thing is, years later, they go, oh, wait, no, that one was really good. Perfect example, Skyward Sword, the one for Wii. Motion controls were terrible for it. This was the first one where it was like, oh, you could, like, move your arm to use the shield, or, you know, wave the Wiimote into any direction, and it'll go in, you know, your sword will go in that direction.
Right.
And it was a little broken. But the story was actually really good, and there was a lot of great items in it, and... now people are going back because the re-release is coming out, and they're charging the exact same price for it, and they're getting a lot of slack for that.
Wow.
and people are excited for it again. That and Twilight Princess, which is probably like my number two in the series. Twilight Princess, criticism that that had, they were like, okay, Ocarina of Time was great, so we're going to do that plus more. And this is the early 2000s, and like... Halo just came out, and Call of Duty just came out, so we're going to make it dark. This is going to be the darkest one in the series, and we're going to make it edgy, and like, and the whole tone is going to be just...
But it's called Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
But it's edgy.
Just the atmosphere is like...
What console is this?
This is for the Wii. This was a launch title for the Wii, but it was also on... it was also on the GameCube. It was the last title for the GameCube and the first title for the Wii.
Interesting.
Now, what was even more interesting, and I mentioned this before we started, where I mentioned that Link was left-handed.
Yes.
All the way up until that one. Zelda games, like I said before, are famously delayed. And the reason why that one was delayed was because they were like, wait, most people are right-handed. Mm-hmm. And we're going to feature the Wii motion controls. So what are we going to do? They made the whole game Link left-handed. So the GameCube version, they released at Link as lefty, and then
forcing the player to play lefty.
Well, GameCube, you're still doing it on a controller.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
But then the Wii version, they made him a righty, but they mirrored the entire game. So they
just took the cheap route and just flipped it.
They flipped the entire game. So somebody who was like, okay, I love Ocarina of Time, I know the lake is to the west and the volcano is to the east, they're like, oh, okay, the volcano is to the west now, and then the lake is to the east.
Oh, wow.
So, but, I mean, otherwise, other than that, it got a lot of criticism for being a little off topic, mainly because the title before that was cartoonish and shell-shaded.
Okay.
So this, they took a way, 180 darker approach.
So it's one of the ones people don't like, but you said it's maybe your second favorite?
Yes. Later on, people are like, okay, this has a lot of good qualities. Why? Because it has some of the best dungeons, and it's got some of the best weapons in it.
Okay.
And the story is pretty good, too, but it also... The problem with a lot of Zelda games is that they start off... It takes way too long for them to actually get going. You set up a lot of story, you're in like the first village, there's a lot of tutorial and stuff... And that one, it takes about 3 hours for you to actually, like, do anything.
Well, okay.
So that gets on people's nerves a lot.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say is one of the most loved games in the series?
Besides Ocarina?
Well, I know it's your favorite. Is it everyone's favorite?
I think that's probably... an objective comment. I don't want to say with fans, but just like overall, like as far as like game review ratings and stuff.
When a new one comes out, what's the old one that they go, it's nothing like this one? Like what's the...
It's Ocarina.
Okay.
But I feel like fan favorites, it's a toss up between Majora's Mask, because it's the most story dense, and the Link to the Past. Because Link to the Past was kind of like, okay, we perfected the formula.
Okay.
Kind of like Super Nintendo hit it all, out of the park. Because people always say Super Mario World, the one for Super Nintendo, is your standard Mario game. Like you have like the open map. You can go to any level you want and everything. The same with The same with Link to the Past, because it was a higher definition, top-down Zelda, which they go back and forth with. Like, top-down Zeldas are Link to the Past. A lot of the handhelds, Link's Awakening, which they just did a remake onto the Switch.
Okay.
And A Link Between Worlds, which is kind of a spiritual sequel to Link to the Past. It's the same map.
Okay.
But that was the one where it introduced a lot of new weapons. It introduced a lot of different towns that stayed in the series. So people really, really, like, the fans really love that one.
Okay. Why has there never been a movie of Zelda?
Oh, I think this is the same thing as, like, why there isn't many Link pajamas, or why I think they are so scared to fuck it up.
They fucked up Mario pretty good, although I love it. So, like, you think at some point, because there was an animated series.
Well, I think that's part of the reason. Actually, they've said the Super Mario Brothers movie is the reason why they stopped making movies for a while.
Wow.
They
could probably do it now, though, and it'd be good, wouldn't it?
Netflix, they had something with Netflix for a while where they said that it was going to be like a Game of Thrones type of thing, but like a family-friendly Game of Thrones. There's been a couple of different series that were very Zelda-based, like Zelda-influenced. There was this one WB show called Legend of the Seeker. My friend Casey and I were actually talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and we both at the same time sent each other, there's a trailer that somebody made of like a Miyazaki-esque Zelda movie.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be amazing.
And it looks beautiful. The animation's based off of Ocarina of Time. And they're like, yeah, this is the only way that this could happen. Mainly because Link doesn't talk. Link has said two things in the entire series. One of them is a scream, and the other is a text in Zelda 2 where it's, I found a mirror under a table. So, like, it's always intended to be your voice.
Sure, okay.
So I think that's one of the biggest problems. They're like, how are we going to make a movie of somebody who doesn't talk?
Right.
In this day. Right. Yeah. Like,
did you ever watch the animated series, the old animated series?
Of course I have. Excuse me, princess.
Yeah, he talks a lot in that.
I think that's the problem. Like,
what storyline did that follow?
Well, whatever.
Its own, or it's just
the Coke storyline. I think somebody was just, I have no idea.
Is it good at all?
No, it's not.
Quite frankly, no.
it really is just like the, they treat the Triforce like a pot of gold, and it's just kind of like a wacky races. Like,
sure, okay.
get to it. Just get to it. But yeah, I think that was like a tag off of the Captain N Game Masters.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Show. But yeah, I have the DVD somewhere, or, you know.
Criterion?
Yeah, the Criterion Collection.
Audio commentary on every episode.
On both Blu-ray and digital download. And it was upsetting. And I think I got through three episodes and was like, why did I buy this?
I wonder if the Netflix, because it probably would be good as a series. I wonder if the Netflix thing could still happen or whatever.
The thing is, like, it's so convoluted, and now they've dug themselves too deep into different generations of Link and Zelda. It's like, where do you start?
Right.
Where do you start, and which one do you commit to?
Right.
Because, like, there's that game Smash Brothers, right? Smash Brothers is the Nintendo All-Stars fighting game.
Yeah.
There are three different Links in that game alone.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, I'm a Toon Link main for you Smashers out there.
What the fuck does that mean?
Exactly. That's a whole other episode. No, just a fighting game. Toon Link is Wind Waker. That's a whole, like, I didn't even touch Wind Waker.
What is Wind Waker?
It's Zelda meets Waterworld. So instead of going through a whole field, you're on a boat looking for different islands. It's fantastic. But again, like,
what console is that for?
That's for the GameCube and the Wii U. They did a reissue that they charged the same price for.
Sure, why not?
10 years later.
Why not?
But yeah, again, very music based. You have to go around listening to songs to figure out how to open up doors and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, another fantastic game that, you know, like, was hated at first because it had a shell shaded shell-shaded animation to it.
Yeah.
And then, again, one of the more beloved games, but a little bit too broad, and it stayed on the pirate theme a little too much.
Okay.
That where it's like, okay, it's a little bit different from the rest of the series.
Okay.
So, but again, like, the explanation to all these is a little bit all over the place, and the reason why is because every single game is completely different.
All over the place.
Yeah.
So we're recording this episode in 2021. What's next? There's a reissue of something coming next,
yeah,
right
now the reissue of Skyward Sword's coming out.
Is there a big title coming up?
They teased 2 years ago.
Sure.
They teased 2 years ago the direct sequel, they called it, to Breath of the Wild.
Which is the last big release.
Which was the last one, and which is one you played, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you played Breath of the Wild, you played the original first, and what was the
Ocarina
other one?
Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time. Did you finish?
On the Wii.
On the Wii.
Yeah.
See, that was always the good thing about this. They've re-released it a couple of times so it could be accessible whomever. Did you finish Ocarina of Time?
I did not, no.
Did you finish Breath of the Wild?
I did not, no.
The one great thing about Breath of the Wild is you could go anywhere in the game, like more so than any other game.
Yeah.
Like you get into this tutorial level, and once you pass that, which is called the Great Plateau, which gives you a little bit of everything in the game, gives you all the environments. Then after that, they're like, you should go that way, but here's the rest of the world. And it's 15 square miles of land, and you see a huge ass castle right in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
You could go in there and you could get a ton of shit. You're most likely going to die, like, instant. You're probably not even going to make it. Like, there's probably going to be something that's going to kill you. But if you do, it's pretty rewarding. Awesome. It's great to have that option. But where it's going to go next, they're working on a direct sequel to that. There has been, like I said, Age of Calamity, Hyrule Warriors, which is a spinoff game. They've been reissuing. They reissued Link's Awakening, which was the Game Boy game.
Why do you think there's... I mean, Nintendo always reissues things... but why? It seems like reissuing old titles is a big part of this franchise. Do you think it's a new generation of kids, or
I think it's a combination of new generation of kids, but also the accessibility of it. The Switch is Nintendo right now is really banking on their handhelds. They made the Switch handheld because the 3DS was so successful.
Right.
So they're like, why don't we just make a strong console that could compete with all the other like fifth generation consoles?
Right.
But this one's portable. So they're like, okay, this game was great, put it on here. This game was great, put it on there. What I'm hoping for, since it is the 35th anniversary, if it mirrors Mario's 35th, they would do an All-Stars game like they did with Mario. Because they're doing that with Mario, too. You have the virtual console. It's got all the titles for the first two systems. And then you bought that 3D All-Stars.
Which was great.
So why not do that with Zelda too? It's like, why? Like,
what would the three be though? What would the three?
I would hope Majora's Mask, because I'm still getting yelled at for not playing.
Okay,
but definitely Ocarina, probably Majora's Mask, and they already re-released Twilight and Wind Waker, and they're doing Skyward Sword. So I don't know. One of the greatest things, another one that I had never played was. There were these two for Game Boy. It was like one of the last Game Boy releases. It was called Oracle Seasons and Ages. I think it was the first one made by Capcom. Nintendo and Capcom teamed up for it. But never played that. And it kind of just was there. A lot of people said it was great. And then it was forgotten about. So it would be really cool to see that resurrected. They're going to milk the Breath of the Wild cash cow for as long as possible.
Because it was so popular.
It was so popular, and it's like a ball of clay. Like, it could really be whatever you want it to be. I think I've discussed this in an... it wasn't even an episode. You just sent out a group text at the start of COVID.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's a great quarantine game to play?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said Breath of the Wild or Spider-Man, but like, it was definitely just a sandbox game. I think it was Breath of the Wild, because it's like, I don't have to go and fight people. I could just go cut down some trees and cook a meal.
Right.
You know, like,
I did play it for a little while. I think where did I stop playing? I think I stopped playing it. I don't know. I think it might have a complex with Zelda games. I don't know. It just might be in my head. I forget where I stopped, but I played for a little while.
They get really intimidating. They get if it doesn't grab you in the first 2 hours,
yeah,
you're probably just going to be like, "Ah, the hell with this," you know? Because there's been titles of you just got to get the right title that's going to be accessible for you.
I was just going to ask you, what would your advice be to somebody who has never played Zelda title and they want to get into it, they've heard about it? Like, is there a game that you say they should start with, or?
That's really good. What would be like one of the more easier ones to start? You know what, just to get a feel of the characters and, you know, just the more fun of it, mm-hmm. I guess would be the word, is to go with like one of the side quests things like Hyrule Warriors, uh-huh. or something, like a button masher to start.
Okay.
But either that or one of the top downs. So the original, I think, is going to be a little bit too overwhelming. So maybe a Link to the Past. Link to the Past could be a great starter one,
mm-hmm.
because it says, hey, go to the castle. There's something going on there. And you go to the castle and then you're on your own. But at least you actually have a start off point.
Right, right, right.
And there's not too much of a prelude or too much exposition starting. But then after that, you could just, you know, go in whatever direction. And then a little bit easier than that is The Link Between Worlds, which is almost the exact same game, but just a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
That one's for the 3DS. It is intimidating, though.
What do you... And we're wrapping up now, but what do you want from a Zelda game? Or like, what would your perfect... If you can construct, or you can... Or they called you in to Nintendo of America and said, we really want you to consult on this. Like, what would be, in your mind, like, the perfect direction for it?
All right, so... Oh, that's great. Breath of the Wild's map, right? Mm-hmm. Because Breath of the Wild, that was like, okay, this is the definitive Hyrule. We have... all the places, we have all the races, we have all the, like, so we have the Zoras, we have the Grudos, we have Death Mountain, the Gorons are over there, the Zoras are over in Zora's Domain and Lake Hylia.
Yeah.
And so all the people were there, but then you would have the other villages, like there's like a Kakariko village, which is like kind of like a suburb of the castle. So like kind of like a rebuilding of what Hyrule was, because again, you're in it, you start the game in the ruins.
Yeah.
More emphasis on dungeons. My biggest criticism with Breath of the Wild was that it was all shrines. It was all like these underground, they weren't even caves.
Yeah, I played it for a little while, and it reminded me of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, yeah. It's
like, here's a big, pretty puzzle-filled thing for you.
You know what, like the other thing that like to go on with the puzzles, it was always weird where like you can never pinpoint what time period Zelda was in. It's like, is this medieval or is it the future?
Right.
And this was always from the first game too, like, because like you have like an electric fence, like
blocking a castle.
Or you know, you have that ancient tech that is in where the puzzles are. But I liked the dungeons more so in the original games, rather than like 120, like, oh, you know, you go here, you get the orb, and then you go to the other like dozens that there are. I like the more simplistic, like, go into this dungeon, solve a couple of puzzles, get the weapon from there. It's cool that now whoever drops a weapon, you could pick it up and put it in your inventory. But one of the more unique things was that each dungeon had a special weapon.
Yeah.
One of my favorites was from Twilight Princess, and they never done it again, where a dungeon was just like a cabin in the snowy mountains, which was really cool. It was very Shining-like, like it was like this old rundown mansion, and you find a ball and chain in it. So it was just like you're swinging around a friggin' bomb.
Wow.
And like it just like broke down walls and stuff, because otherwise... all the other games, you put a bomb, you run away, and then it opens up a cave. This, like, you just smash and shit. But they kind of did away with that. They made it just like swords and shields, and you have your bow and arrow, but you just pick up whatever you find on the floor.
In Breath of the Wild, it's got the mechanic of when you use it enough, it breaks. Is that in all of the games, or is that a new thing that
they're
doing?
In Skyward Sword. Okay. Which is where you started picking up other people's weapons. Oh, no, you started picking them up in Wind Waker, but it was kind of a little bit more gimmicky in Wind Waker. But it became more of a survival mode type of game, like a survival game.
Right.
I mean,
it makes sense. In fucking Animal Crossing, your tools break, and it's like, what, did I water too hard with this watering can? Like, you won't, like, at a certain point, like, it'll just break into dust, and it's like, why? Why do I need this mechanic?
These leaves are too brown. I gotta get them green again.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, literally everything. Like, oh my, I fished too many times.
What
with
are
this
you
fishing
putting
rod.
In the watering can?
It's just water. I'm just watering my.
How heavy
field.
Are the fish?
I know, it's ridiculous. Like literally everything you use, all of the tools you have to fucking. Doesn't matter how much, and you could buy ones that are really good. Doesn't matter.
Mm.
They have a certain limit.
Yeah.
And people have been saying, please put a bar on the screen so we know when it's coming, but yeah. They won't. So it's just like, basically, you kind of have an idea in your head, and then like, oh, there it goes. It's into dust.
Yeah.
I need a new watering can now.
So what, like, I could see, like, a fishing pole, but...
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's...
The, like, the thing is, if you're going to use that logic, you gotta be consistent with it. Like,
yeah. Like
I have an axe, right? I have an axe. I'm cutting down a bunch of trees. And after probably like 100 swings, it's like, oh, your axe is about to break. And it breaks, right? And then it's like, I pick up a friggin' stick and I'm beating somebody with it.
Yeah.
Like, I should just like hit somebody with it and it breaks immediately. It's like,
right. Why
do I get 6 swings with this?
I know.
It's like, if you're going to break it. Like, yeah. I should pick it up and it should fall to pieces.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah. But, I don't know why. I guess it gives you more to do but I don't know. I always hate when it's like your inventory. I don't know. It's something I don't like in games. That's, I guess, too bad for me because it's something that's in every game now.
I don't know. I think they just want you to be more responsible in games. It's like, no, I just
want
to.
I want a cool. That's what I love about Doom, which is like you get crazy. Every weapon is just more insane and they're just. Infinite. They never break. You just.
That was really great about Doom, especially the older games. What was it? IDDQD is God mode, which is invincibility.
Yeah.
IDKFA. Why do I still remember these? Was your infinite ammo, and so it's like, okay, great. Let's blow shit up. Zelda never had stuff like that.
No.
Zelda was like, oh, this is the game. There's no cheats. Like,
people
found bugs. Like, you know, like, hey, I, you know. Did a glitch on this wall and it made me speed run the game. That's for nerds. But
like, here on PCMC, we pick on nerds.
Yeah, nerds.
Anyway.
Didn't you say that this had
nothing
to do with gatekeeping?
Did you enjoy this hour
of nerding out about Zelda?
Yeah. No, I to me, well, it's funny that I do think that's a whole nother level of gaming that I my brain can't even work that way. Like, speed running is a whole nother level, and people who find, like, can hack it and, like, find breaks and shit, like, to me, it's like, and, like, right away, like, a game will come out, and then, like, the next day on YouTube, it'll be like, here's a fucking speed run. It's like, how? Who are you?
Oh, man. Yeah, I've never been that type of gamer. And I guess this is kind of not, I don't want to call it a closing remark. I don't know where we are, but like, this is really to sum it up or like where I stand with the series. Like, I just pretty much unloaded all that on you. Compared to a lot of other people, I really wouldn't consider myself a gamer. Like, I get texts from my brother like, hey, look what I got for PS5, or here, look, I got you playing Assassin's Creed. I was like, no, I'm not.
Well,
like,
you told me once, I'm a Nintendo guy.
Yeah. I was a Sega Genesis kid, and then I was a convert,
too. They do what Nintendo don't.
I know, right? It was so edgy. Sonic had spikes in his hair, and he smoked. He didn't smoke, but, I mean, he would have been so much cooler if he did.
No, but it was edgy. They definitely marketed it on...
He ate chili dogs, Mike. Yeah. But the Zelda games, because I'm not even a Nintendo guy anymore.
Yeah.
I just either play a Mario game or a Zelda game.
Okay.
And
hey man, life is short. Just fucking do what you like.
And that's what makes me happy.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's go back to your starter pack episode.
Mm-hmm.
You and your brother were talking about books.
Yeah.
And like reading an in-depth book and something like with a little humor. Like, you consume both of those at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Zelda and Mario are my two books. I mean, I should read. Like, reading is... we could go into a whole conversation of how, you know, artistic I feel video games are, but like, yeah, not every video game is my book, but Mario is my light reading, and Zelda is my consumption. I think that's the way, if you do want to get into it, that's the way you should approach it. Like, it's harder to start the longer books. It's harder to like, okay, like maybe this will pick up in a little bit. That's probably the best way to approach it. And to do it, not to do it before bed, like you said, with the... You know, you if you want a little bit more humor and stuff, you know, just go get a couple of stars in Mario 64.
Right.
Not go, you know, digging around in caves and finding...
It's more of a meal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess that's the best approach.
I mean... you know, like we say, like it's all about inclusiveness, and it's you know, I recently heard the term for the first time, cozy gamer, which is like Animal Crossing.
That's
fans. And that's like Jen. Jen's a cozy gamer. Like Jen, I showed Jen Doom Eternal, and she was like turned off by the blood. She was like, "Oh my, no, I can't." Like she, but she's a gamer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you fucking play games. You're a gamer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like. Animal Crossing and cozy gaming is very therapeutic in a way. And
I think it's meditative even.
Yeah. Like how many people have had, what is that, Farmville or like SimCity or like, it's like, look, I'm just building. Like I'm not reaching a goal. I'm doing me.
Right.
And you know what? Like that's why Breath of the Wild, I've played the game twice. It's a tremendous game to play twice because the one time I went in and it was the... just go straight, like watch YouTube. And that wasn't the challenge. That was, let me just see what the game has. Then there was the cozy gaming. Let me explore the world. Like I'll go pick up some things along the way that I remembered from, you know, the last time I played it. But, you know, let me see what you got. You know, like, let's see what's in this lake. I'll go for a little swim.
I had, what was it? I think maybe it was one of the Last of Us games on PS4. Like, I asked Jen to, I was like, play this for a minute. And she played it and like a zombie killed her. And she was like, that's so rude. And I was like, all right, well, this is not the world for you. But, you know, it's funny. You know, I was not much of a gamer in my 20s because I didn't have money. And, you know, I was just too busy being, I don't know what, depressed. So, like, I feel like I've only recently in my 30s, like, gotten into games. But, you know, there's all sorts of games that, like, I have no fucking interest in or ability for.
Yeah. The other one that they have not made a new game in about 8 years now was Grand Theft Auto. And that's a lot more id. That's a lot more let's blow shit up. But there's a little coziness to it, too, because you don't have to play the game.
Right.
I had a friend that I used to play online with where I was like, hey, I'm in Midtown. You want me to come pick you up? And then, like, he would get into my car. You know, we would be in the comfort of our own homes, and we'd just, like, drive around. He'd shoot a gun out of a car and stuff. But, like, you know, we had no direction.
It's fun.
We were just hanging out, blowing shit up.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
It was a lot of fun. I feel like I have a better understanding.
Are you sure?
Of this series now. I do. I have a sense. I feel like if I had to fake a conversation with somebody, I could just repeat some of the shit you said and sound like I know what I'm talking about. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that was... Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, I can't believe... Yeah, no. Like, I would totally be like, I think I could fake it. Bill Gagliardi, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was unbelievable.
And as always, thank you so much for all the music you contribute to PCMC. You know, I'll call up Bill at 4 a.m. and be like, what if we do a version of the theme song, but it sounds like The Simpsons, or it sounds like Charlie Brown Christmas album? And Bill will be like, I don't know. And then he'll come back to me 30 minutes later and be like, here's 5 versions of that. What do you think? And then you'll ask me some musical question that I have no idea how to answer. And I'll be like, yeah, all right.
Mike, do you want this in triplets? Yes. What?
I have no idea. So thank you so much for everything.
Oh, I'm just really happy to be here.
Bill Gagliardi, we end every episode by saying...
Retrieve the Triforce, go forth into the Lost Woods and over the Death Mountain, and go bye-bye.